historically some of our great scientific minds that made some of the early incredible scientific discoveries were leaders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those, that's where the great thinkers were, and they understood in that time that what they were discovering was more of God's creation.
Everyone, to podcast number 178, Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg. We have Associate Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. We have Youth and Family Director and our Praise Band Leader, Jordan Kettlewell. We have retired Pastor Barry Sweet. And myself, Dana Hall, is the moderator. And today, we're going to have a couple episodes on the creation of the universe. So I'm just going to dive right in. I can see Jordan giving me the look like he's ready to talk.
I love this topic. The subject to me is, it's fascinating and arguably not that important, which is weird.
Oh, it's absolutely important.
It's important.
Oh, but he's already stirring the pot.
But not important in the context of like, you know, what's going to save our souls? What's going to get us
correct
to heaven? But
yeah, that's good.
It's fascinating to me because I'm fascinated by science.
Mm-hmm.
So what is science? And why is there a thought of science versus religion?
Okay, so here's been like, you know, a bug in my craw for a long time. We know now, like we think about this in this context in the world, science versus religion. We think of it on the religious side. We think of it on the secular science side, right? Both camps. But it didn't start that way, and it shouldn't be that way.
Well, the word you used was secular.
Right. But it didn't start that way, and it shouldn't be that way.
Secular being not of the church.
Not of the church.
So I'm just the layperson here. So religion is separate from science, and science is separate from religion. So we've divided, and what you're saying is...
It shouldn't be. And it wasn't originally. I mean, some of our... You know, historically, some of our great scientific minds that made some of the early incredible scientific discoveries were leaders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the great thinkers were. And they understood in that time that what they were discovering was more of God's creation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a matter of trying to find out something that would disprove Scripture or find out something that would disprove the existence of God because we figured out how it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, we're just in our limited capacity as humans over the course of human history have been able to understand more and more a little bit about God's creation, how he created everything, how mm-hmm. it all exists, how it's all put together. We can never understand it the way he does because he made it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And we can't think on that infinite scale. But over time, and this even goes back to Genesis, right? The eat the fruit, this will make you as gods, right?
Mm-hmm. Make you like God, yeah.
Make you like God. Then knowledge will make you like God. Well, that mm-hmm. happened over the course of centuries. The more knowledge we got, we thought we could supplant God.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, all we're doing mm-hmm. is just learning more and more about God's creation. So there should not be a science versus religion, as though science is an entity, or a science versus God, as though science is an entity.
Science
is knowledge. It comes from the Latin word scientia, which means knowledge or to know. Science is the search for knowledge. And the more we learn, the more we search, the more even secular scientists are getting closer
today.
Secular scientists today are getting closer to literally finding the physical evidence they've always tried to fight against, finding that evidence for God, and still just not accepting it.
Why are you calling them secular scientists? They may not be.
Well, right? That's the thing. I'm making that
good
division
point.
Because there are Christian scientists and there are creation scientists
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
there are scientists that come at all of creation from the standpoint of faith. But there's also, I guess when I make that distinction, I'm talking about specifically those secular or atheist scientists that seek to disprove the existence of God mm-hmm. through science or just mm-hmm. discount it altogether. So to me, it's fascinating because it's a nonsensical contradiction. There should never have been a science versus God.
And that probably came up during the Enlightenment.
1700s. That's largely where that started to separate. But it's a fascinating thing. And there are many theories out there. It's like scientific theories out there that became very anti-scriptural, anti-God, very worldly. You know, this was all random happenstance.
Well, the theory of evolution probably grew during that time. Mm-hmm. Charles Darwin, as far as the origins of man.
Yes.
And all of that just diverged. It took a left turn from scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, someone's supposed theory becomes someone else's supposed fact.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we've got evolution figured out. I mean, I always go back to Lucy. Are you familiar with Lucy? Lucy was the skull that was found.
I was thinking I Love Lucy.
I think it was Lucy.
I was thinking of peanuts.
It was the skull that was found that was supposed to bridge apes and man.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Years and years later, they discovered that it was fabricated. It was a fabricated lie that this was truly the bridging gap between animals. The missing link between animals and man. And so when you think in terms of what we're discussing, the creation of the universe or God created, and we're now talking about science versus religion, and I just love how you put that religion or science is really beginning to come back around and prove the religious writings are true.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at scripture and the first three words sets the whole of the Bible up. In the beginning, God created. So the first five words. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created. And that sets the tone for everything in the Bible. Without that, what do you put down first, right? Yeah.
And I think if we can utilize that as foundation, in the beginning, God created. To me, that says it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can start from that foundation of truth, things fall into place pretty easily. Yeah.
And really the book of Genesis means origins or beginning, sets God-given principles in place that are present throughout the entire Bible.
Right.
So many, many things, you can go back to Genesis and see the origin of that and the truth of that and that principle laid out for the first time, and then that stays true through the Bible. So it's important. It's important to look at the beginnings for the rest of our faith. I've heard it said, if we're not willing to believe Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, or Genesis 1, 1, why would we believe John 3:16?
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. It's either all truth or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And Answers in Genesis was the first group, Ken Ham, who was the first, probably not the first person, but in modern times, the first person to really, as science began to diverge from religion, Ken Ham was the one to bring the reality of biblical thought back to the forefront.
Yeah, and for our listeners, I would highly recommend Answers in Genesis and Ken Ham's work as a resource for looking into creation from a biblical perspective, creation science, and really using the book of Genesis, again, as an establishing principle for the rest of the Bible. It's an excellent resource. They have the Creation Museum in Northern Kentucky and the Noah's Ark exhibit and all of that. So a good resource for the church. Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's what's fascinating. There's so much in the very, you know, very start of Genesis. There's so much packed in there, like you find anywhere in the Bible. Mm. There's so much more in there than, you know, the seven words you might have read.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of wanted to, I guess, to start with is looking at, you know, we see creation, you know, what combats the idea of creation in secular science, the Big Bang Theory. I'm going to say something probably controversial, and I'm going to say something that I'm acknowledging is from my own observation. This is I'm no scholar. Both exist.
Both being
the Big Bang theory and creation. I knew you were going to go
finish your thought. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to push back on that a bit.
And here's why. I don't think it exists in the same way that, you know, your mainstream secular scientists would say the Big Bang theory exists, but one confirms the other. And here's why I say that. The Big Bang theory, when it's broken down to the very beginnings, now, for right now, I'm going to discount the timelines, okay? But when it's broken down to the very beginnings, there was nothing, and then there was something. Now, the more science is advanced and instrumentation is advanced to be able to observe things scientifically, to be able to observe things on a universal level, the more they've been able to break that down to smaller and smaller pieces. You know, we learn big scale universe stuff all the way down to quantum atomic things.
And one of the, just to keep our listeners aware, one of the discoveries of more recent understanding is that the universe is ever expanding.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what leads us potentially back to this understanding of a Big Bang. So if you reverse the universe expanding, if you reverse that process, then at one point the universe was all in one place.
Exactly.
And in that one place, something happened that caused everything to begin to expand away from each other. And that could be, well, and then for me, back in seminary, William Lane Craig, a cosmologist and Christian, would say, well, where did the matter that exploded come from? Who created that? I mean, he puts those questions out there so that I think it drives you back to minimally, if you're not a Christian, an intelligent designer.
Yes, and that's what the going thought is, even in secular astrophysics right now. Mm-hmm. They've broken it, and that's when I say they've broken it down to these
steps,
the smallest parts, while also looking at the biggest. Okay. There's no way to refute anymore that there was an intelligent design. And, you know, if you listen to some of the more popular astrophysicists that would be talking about this, you can map out the whole universe and you see where there was a beginning point, and everything was actually laid out in a map so that it would work in harmony, so that existence could actually be, right? So when I say that one proves the other, I'm not saying in any way that creation in Genesis should be tailored to fit the Big Bang theory. What I'm saying is the Big Bang theory has some flaws and errors, but what it does is prove creation. And there's things, like I mentioned, you know, in Genesis, there's more, if you read it in a, if you read it thinking about that, there's more to it than is even just within the words. Like we know it and we take it at face value that this is truth, right? And it is. Mm-hmm. This is God's truth. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Which is the truth. That's what happened.
Yes.
Also, if you look at that and compare it to phases of creation within the Big Bang theory, there was a time where the earth was dark. It was when what they would call, I forget the actual term for it, but it's the phase of Earth's creation where the rocks and the dust and the matter was mashing together. Nothing was there yet. It was dark. Well, that's spelled out in Genesis. Mm-hmm. Darkness was over the surface, and the Spirit of God was hovering, launching forward. Genesis 1:6, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated water under the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning. So that's also talking about the period in Earth's formation where now water was starting to form, which then generated an atmosphere. Now the water didn't generate an atmosphere. God created all of this stuff to be able to work that way. He knew how everything had to work so that we could have life, so that we could actually sustain and not be atomically broken apart or burned up by the sun. And the scriptural support in there is, you know, it's ironclad. But of course it's not broken down like an astrophysicist would break it down. You know, I mean, there would be no purpose to even do that scripturally. Mm-hmm. Why would we need to know that? Because again, that's why I say it's not necessarily terribly important. It's just fascinating to me. But even going on in 9, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in or to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land and gathered waters he called seas. Okay. Well, we also know that all of our continents on the planet fit together like puzzle pieces into what would be the original continent of Pangaea. Now, none of this stuff in secular science fits in with creation timeline. They've got that wrong. But obviously, God created the world with science to work in a certain way. And there's evidence for Pangaea right there in Genesis 9.
Define Pangaea.
Pangaea was the what secular science would refer to as the original continent. Okay. One landmass.
One landmass.
That then broke up and became all of our continents. Mm-hmm. You know, but it says right here, gather the water to one place. And it was so. And then he created land. You know, it doesn't say he created individual continents. It said he created land. So what am I getting at here? There's plenty of different theories. I guess the important point to me that's always fascinating, and I get conflicting reactions when I talk about this stuff, like, oh, Jordan's going science. You know, he's getting too progressive with this stuff. He's starting to not believe, you know, not believe the word is the truth. The word is the truth. But it's just, it's wondrous to me. I love God's creation and I love learning more and more about it. So when I say Jeremy,
that's which we're going to have to pick up on our next.
Yes. I think so.
We'll pick up with this debate on the next one. When I say God's word is the Big Bang Theory, what I'm saying is the Big Bang Theory is slowly but surely proving that creation, as it's said in Genesis, is the truth.
And I know that Jeremy's going to talk in terms of time, but we'll get back to that.
Yep, Jeremy's biting his lip right now. So, all right, well, thank you everyone for joining us. You'll definitely have to listen to next week's podcast. We come to you from the Gaylord Methodist Church, and we have two services on Sunday, a traditional at 9 a.m. and a contemporary at 10:45 a.m. We also have a Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. every other Wednesday. Or is it 7:15 p.m.?
It's 7:15, and it's the second and fourth Wednesday of each month.
Thank you.
So it's not always every other. Yeah.
If you can, we'd love to have you join us in person. But if you absolutely cannot, then please view us on Facebook or YouTube. And if you have any questions about us, Google us or call the office 989-732-5380. And we are located at 215 South Center in Gaylord, Michigan. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us.